From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, the key interest rate gap between South Korea and the U.S. widens to the largest in 22 years following the Fed's 25 basis point hike. The prosecution and the police raid the headquarters of the Jesus Morning Star religious sect in a probe into additional allegations of sexual assault against its leader, Jung Myung-suk. And South Korea and the U.S. carry out combined live-fire drills as the springtime Freedom Shield exercise wraps up. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Tom McCarthy. The Federal Reserve hiked interest rates on Wednesday in an effort to tackle inflation. The U.S. Central Bank took a baby step of upping the rate by 0.25% as it considered the impact of the recent collapse of banks in the U.S. equivalent to a rate hike. However, as our Kim Bum-soo reports, the decision in the U.S. has expanded the rate gap between South Korea and the U.S. to its widest in 22 years.
At today's meeting, the committee raised the target range for the federal funds rate by a quarter percentage point.
The U.S. Federal Reserve has raised its key interest rate by a quarter of a percentage point in its continuing effort to rein in inflation. After a two-day meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee ended on Wednesday, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell explained the rate decision.
We believe, however, that events in the banking system over the past 2 weeks are likely to result in tighter credit conditions for households and businesses, which would in turn affect economic outcomes.
The baby step was taken as some economists have suggested that the Fed should pause its rate hikes. The U.S. central bank's fight against inflation has become tougher in recent weeks due to a potential financial crisis following the collapse of several banks.
Such a tightening in financial conditions would work in the same direction as rate tightening. In principle, as a matter of fact, you can think of it as being the equivalent of a rate hike, or perhaps more than that.
Despite opting for an increase of only 25 basis points, the new target range is the highest level since 2007. The Bank of Korea's benchmark rate currently stands at 1.5 percentage points lower than the Fed's. The largest gap in 22 years could result in capital outflow from the South Korean financial market. Fed policymakers projected rates would end 2023 at around 5.1%, unchanged from their median estimate from December, if the economy evolves as projected. Kim Bum-soo, KBS World Radio News.
The government says that uncertainty is affecting the global financial market, including the failures of two U.S. banks, could reoccur for some time. Finance Minister Choo Kyung-ho revealed the view on Thursday when he chaired an emergency macroeconomic finance meeting in Seoul. He said the possibility of such uncertainties repeating themselves cannot be ruled out at a time when the world economy is adjusting to tighter monetary policies after coasting on low interest conditions for a prolonged duration. The minister said the government will keep a close eye on the global financial market with a high sense of vigilance, partnering with the Bank of Korea to monitor financial markets both at home and abroad in real time through an around-the-clock system jointly operated by related agencies. The prosecution and police are conducting a joint raid of the head office of the Jesus Morning Star religious movement as part of their probe into allegations that JMS leader Jung Myung-suk sexually assaulted three female followers. Jung had recently made headlines following the release of a Netflix documentary. Our Richard Larkin has more.
The police of South Chungcheong province sent some 120 officers to the Worship and Recreation Center of Jesus Morning Star, also known as Providence or Christian Gospel Mission, on Thursday. The prosecution, on its part, sent some 80 investigators to the center called Wonmyongdong, located in Gumsan County in South Chungcheong province, which is considered to be the movement's headquarters. The raid comes after three South Korean female followers filed a complaint against Jung with the South Chungcheong police in January, saying they were sexually assaulted and abused by Jung. The JMS leader is currently on trial following his indictment on October 28th of last year for sexually abusing two foreign followers. He is accused of sexually molesting and assaulting a follower from Hong Kong on 17 occasions between February 2018 and September 2021, while sexually molesting an Australian follower on five occasions from throughout the second half of 2018. Jung is suspected of committing such crimes by brainwashing the victims into believing that he is the Messiah, but his supporters have dismissed the allegations, saying the victims were never brainwashed and the leader clearly conveyed to them that he is only human. The latest trial comes after Jung was released from prison in February 2018, after serving 10 years for sexually assaulting or molesting four JMS followers in their 20s in Malaysia, Hong Kong, and Ansan Gyeonggi province between August 2001 and April 2006. Jung has recently made headlines after Netflix released a docuseries on March 3rd titled In the Name of God, A Holy Betrayal, which tells the true stories of four South Korean cult leaders claiming to be prophets, including Jung. Richard Larkin, KBS World Radio News.
The Constitutional Court has rejected a petition filed by the ruling People Power Party seeking to invalidate legislation railroaded through Parliament by the main opposition Democratic Party last year, seeking to limit the prosecution's investigative power. The court voted 5-4 to dismiss the petition on Thursday, refusing to rule against the actions by the chair of the legislation committee in passing the prosecution reform bills out of the committee. While the court ruled that the laws themselves are valid, the right of lawmakers to deliberate and vote was violated due to flaws in the legislative process of the committee at the time, which facilitated the passage of the bills without the opportunity for discussion in the plenary session. The National Assembly passed two bills to reform the prosecution's investigative authority last April and May, limiting the scope of the supplementary investigations and reducing the prosecution's investigative powers to only two types of crimes from the initial six before stripping them completely. South Korean and U.S. military forces jointly carried out combined live-fire drills for the fourth day on Thursday as part of the field training occurring alongside the combined springtime Freedom Shield exercise, which was set to wrap up on Thursday. The South Korean Army said its Capital Mechanized Infantry Division and the U.S. Army 2nd Infantry Division and South Korea-U.S. Combined Division held the drills from Monday to Thursday in Pochon, Gyeonggi Province. The combined arms drills involved some 800 troops and around 100 vehicles and weapons, including K1A2 tanks and K9A1 howitzers from South Korea, and Stryker armored vehicles from the U.S. Meanwhile, the Marines from South Korea, the U.S. and Britain began a two-day combined scouting exercise on Thursday. According to the South Korean Marine Corps on Thursday, the three sides began training in the southeastern city of Pohang the previous day, running a drill to reinforce their capacity to conduct operations. South Korea has reportedly co-sponsored a UN draft resolution on North Korea's human rights violations for the first time in 5 years. According to a diplomatic source on Thursday, Seoul signed on as a co-sponsor of the draft resolution to be adopted during the 52nd regular session of the United Nations Human Rights Council convening from February 27th to April 4th. South Korea has not participated as a co-sponsor of the resolution since 2019 under the Moon Jae-in administration, amid its efforts to de-escalate tensions with the North and resume inter-Korean dialogue. This year's resolution, submitted by Sweden and the European Union on February 21st, reportedly includes new demands urging the North to ensure freedom of speech and reconsider its law that blocks cultural content from outside the reclusive country. The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index rose 7.52 points, or 0.31% on Thursday, to close the day at 2,424.48. The Tech-heavy KOSDAQ fell, however, losing 1.24 points, or 0.15%, to close at 812.19. On the foreign exchange, the local currency strengthened 29.41 against the U.S. dollar, closing the day at 1,278.31. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. I'm Tom McCarthy.
KBS World Radio.